Welcome to Torah Timech Hanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we'll be learning Yeshayahu Perek Tes, the ninth perek. Remember that last perek we ended off talking about the slow three-stage exile of the 10 tribes of Malchus Yisrael. We have to imagine what it was like for a moment to be the kingdom of Yehuda at the time, to be a member of the Jewish community watching your fellow Jews from the north being exiled, being sent out into a potentially endless galus, and you, on the one hand, are relieved that you're being saved. On the other hand, you are terrified that you're next. And we can't deny the fact that there is a deep sense of tragedy in watching the people being exiled. If you want to get a sense of what this was like, and one of the things we speak about in Yeshayahu is the ambiguity of how the multi-generational interpretation of the messaging, in a sefer called Toras Avraham, which was written by Rav Avraham Grudzinski, he has an incredibly difficult piece to read. He's speaking to the Lithuanian community in the early 1940s after the Nazi Germany has invaded Poland and started wiping out Polish Jewry. And Lithuanian Jewry is standing on the side saying, "That could have been us. Wow. Thank God we managed to escape." In fact, many people from Poland escaped into Lithuania to be saved. How similarly, people from the 10 tribes escaped from Asher and went to Yehuda. And there's the sense on the one hand of thank you, Hashem, that we are not having the same fate. And on the other hand, a deep sense of tragedy of this is what's happening to our brothers and sisters. And maybe not so much an understanding of when is our turn and how soon will it be when the community in Lithuania is wiped out too. So we're going to hear these themes in this perek itself, because perek tes has two parts. The first part is going to describe the overwhelming joy of the salvation of Malchus Yehuda, and the second part, the tragedy and calamity of the destruction of Malchus Yisrael. And so, Pasuk Aleph tells us, Ha'am ha'ochim b'choshech ra'u or gadol, the nation who's going in darkness. And what is this darkness? It's the darkness of the Assyrian army coming closer and closer. They know what Assyria is capable of because they saw how they destroyed the people of Israel. And they realize that their days could be numbered too. And yet the whole thing turns around. In the middle of the darkness, they see Or Gadol, great light. What is that great light? Chazal tell us that great light is a reference to Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu, who is born and who is going to bring the people to a state of salvation through teaching them Torah and eradicating idol worship and having them be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again. The Midrash tells us that this Or HaGadol is not a reference to the time of Chizkiyahu, but it is also a reference to the time of the Purim story. The Purim story talks about the Ha'am HaHochim BaChoshech, again with this impeding gloom and doom hanging over their heads, where there's a decree of Haman that's going to wipe out the Jewish people. But then Ra'u Or Gadol, says the Midrash, is a reference to Mordechai, where Mordechai gets the people to fast and to wear sackcloth and to do teshuvah, and they saw a great light. This is parallel to the Midrash, which describes how Queen Esther is referred to as Ayelet HaShachar. Ayelet HaShachar is the bright light that comes, the star of the nighttime that comes just before dawn, the light that comes through positive leadership when we're in the darkest times, that manages to move us to a place that's closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as we said, they're not just seeing great light, but there's a lot of conflict. And we see the conflict in Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis tells us, Hir bisi goy lo higdalta simcha. You Hashem maybe, or you Chizkiyahu, you have made the nation great. You have increased its joy. But over here in the word lo, you have increased to it, the simcha, there's a ketiv and a kri. Ketiv is how it's written, and kri is how we read it. We read it as lo with a vav, to him you have made great. But written in the text, how it's written in the scroll, is lo with an aleph. Lo means no, there is no greater simcha. It is gone, the joy is ended. And the way the Radak reads that is the joy is ended for the people of Asher, the Assyrian army. On the one hand, the Jews are celebrating, but the Assyrians are cut down. But I want to suggest maybe velo with an aleph, there is no simcha, could also apply to Bnei Yehuda. That Malchus Yehuda, on the one hand, is so happy that they've been saved. On the other hand, they can't really truly be happy because they're devastated by what has befallen their Jewish brethren. Just like we can imagine those Jews of Lithuania in 1941. Pasuk Gimel tells us why Chizkiyahu is going to be so great. It tells us, Ki es ol subalo ve es mateshich mo shevet hanogesbo. He is going to take upon his shoulders the yoke and the burden of the people. He's going to take the oppression of the rod of the people of Asher, and he will strike Asher down, Kayom Midian, like the day of Midian. That's a reference to the battle of Gidon. We know in the book of Shoftim, when Gidon fought against Midian, he managed to, this a similar story to Asher, in that overnight, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a miracle, and the entire army ran away or was destroyed. So too here, we're going to have a Malach who's going to come in at night, as we'll see later on in the Sefer, and destroy the people of Asher. This Or HaGadol is a Yeled, Pasuk Hei, Ki Yeled Yulad Lanu, a child will be born to us. And a lot, so far we've encountered a couple of children who were born, but those children were born to Yeshayahu, the prophet. Here we're going to hear of a child who's born to Ahaz. And even though Ahaz is a wicked king, his child will belong Lanu, to all of us, because Chizkiyahu really is going to be the shining star of the entire people. In fact, his name suggests this. Chizkiyahu, he's mechazek. He gives them chizuk. He gives them strength in their relationship with Hashem. And what will this person, Chizkiyahu, be? Vatehi hamisura al shichmo. He will have true authority on his shoulders. The yikrashmo pele yoetz el gibor, and Hashem, the great advisor, the mighty God, Aviad, the eternal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will name him Sar Shalom. Chizkiyahu is another name, which is Sar Shalom, the officer of peace. Chazal tell us that Yeshayahu could have actually been Mashiach. And here there is written into these texts is the potential of maybe this is it. Maybe he is the one who is going to end our suffering and bring about the battle of Asher. Could have been the battle of Gog and Magog, and the world could have come to a state of completion. As the Pasuk in Vav tells us, Lemisra uleshalom ein keitz. He could have brought peace and authority endlessly. Al kisei David v'al mamlachto, on the throne of David and on his kingdom, lahachinota ulesa'ada b'mishpat u'tzedakah. He could have created a system which is leaning on justice and righteousness, but that is not going to happen, as we'll see later on in the story. Pasuk Zion, and the rest of the perek, actually until it's a couple psukim into the next perek, turn now our energies towards the 10 tribes. And we start to look at the slow, painful, and tragic downfall of Malchus Yisrael. As Pasuk Zion tells us, Davar shalach Hashem b'Yaakov. Hashem sends a message to Yaakov through the Nevi'im, saying, Do teshuvah v'nafal b'Yisrael. And what he predicted happened to Yisrael, exactly as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nevi'im told Malchus Yisrael was going to happen, it happened, nafal b'Yisrael. But the way that Abar Benel reads this pasuk is really quite telling. He says, Davar shalach Hashem b'Yaakov is the Torah. Hashem b'nei Yisrael gave you the Torah. V'nafal b'Yisrael, and you quite literally dropped the ball. You dropped the Torah. V'nafal didn't mean it fell upon, but it fell down. You let go of Torah. You no longer kept Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore, the way that Abar Benel reads the next pasuk, V'yed'u ha'am kulo Ephraim, v'yoshev Shomron, and the whole nation, Ephraim and those who live in the Shomron knew that Hashem's predictions, as we said originally, or that Abar Benel says, no, they only knew themselves. The Yad'u, all they could not see beyond their own nose. They were so haughty and so arrogant that they weren't able to hear the Musa, the rebuke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Begaiva ubegodel levav, with arrogance and with haughtiness, they said, Levenim naflu vegazit nivne. Oh, so what? If Hashem destroys our houses, we'll build with even better stones. Shikmim gudau v'arazim nachlif. If Hashem cuts down one type of tree, we're going to build it with a cedar, with an even stronger tree. We got this. God is no threat to us. Whatever destruction happens, as we see the destruction, we can be delusional and tell ourselves that we'll manage to rebuild. Everything's going to be okay. They thought they were invincible. And as they watched their destruction happen before their eyes, they managed to continue to convince themselves of their own invincible nature. So what happens? Pasuk Yod says, if that's how you behave, if you are so arrogant, v'nafal b'Yisrael, and you're not holding on to Torah, then Pasuk Yod, v'yesagev Hashem es tzarei ratzin alav, v'et oivav yesachsech. Hashem will make lofty the enemies of Ratzin. Remember we said Ratzin made an alliance with Yisrael. And Hashem says, the enemy will rise above both Aram and Yisrael. Don't rely on Aram. Aram is not going to save you. In fact, Hashem will send Asher that will chop down Aram and will chop you down. The es oivav yasachsech, and he will confuse or surround his enemies, meaning the enemies of Ritzin. But another way of reading this, and Chazal read it this way, is the enemies of Hashem. As Rashi tells us, the es oivav yisachsech, he will confuse his enemies. Hashem will make all of his enemies fight against each other. If you make yourself an enemy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Hashem will send another enemy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to deal with you. And one of the greatest revelations of God is when two nations who both deny God manage to eradicate each other with no effort of Am Yisrael at all. Pasuk Yud Aleph uses a refrain which is used multiple times, both in this perek and the next one, which is Bechol Zot Lo Shav Apo. Through all of this punishment, when Hashem sends the enemy or the various things that happen, Hashem's anger is not abated. V'od Yado Netuya, and his hand is still outstretched. He is still waiting to smite the Jewish people again because they're not repenting and they're not doing teshuva. And then Pasuk Yud Beis tells us things get worse for the people. V'ha'am lo shav ad mahamakehu. And the Jewish people don't return to the one who struck them, meaning they thought that the people who are hitting them, who striking them, are Aram, are Ashur, and they don't realize that the hamakehu, the one who is really causing their troubles, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'es Hashem tzvakos lo darashu, and they don't seek out Hashem. So the next level of punishment comes in. And this role of punishment is going to be a destruction of the leadership. Vayachret Hashem Yisrael Rosh v'zanav kippah v'agmon b'yom echad. Hashem will eradicate or wipe out from the Jewish people the heads and the tails, the important and the unimportant people all on one day. Hashem will wipe everyone out. But really, Pasuk Tesvav tells us, V'yihiyu me'ashre ha'am hazeh mat'im. It is the most praiseworthy, the most important people of the people who are really making everyone go astray. U'me'usha rav mevula'im. And thus the way of your paths has been corrupted. But once again, we're told, B'chol zot lo shav apo v'od yado netuya. But despite all of this, they don't do teshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish them once more. Pasuk Yud Zayin really gives us an insight into what sin really is. It says, Ki ba'ara ka'esh risha. The wickedness is blazing like a fire. And the question is the wickedness the punishment, the enemies, or is the wickedness the sin? And maybe the Malbim suggests it's both, because we know sin is the thing that we do which hurts us the most. In Sefer Kuzari, it speaks about how if a person, if you imagine the mashal of a man who is unwell, and he goes to the doctor, and the doctor gives him medicine and says, take this medicine and you will be healed. And after a couple of weeks, the man comes back and he says to the doctor, I've been taking the medicine, can you heal me now? And the ridiculousness of such a saying, because we know that it is the taking of the medicine which heals, not the cooperation of the patient, which allows the doctor to miraculously heal the patient. And so it is true with mitzvahs and with sins. Mitzvahs are what give us good. They give us life. Schar mitzvah mitzvah means that if we're living in a world in which we're doing mitzvahs, then our life is filled with light and goodness. And the opposite, as this pasuk is telling us, the risha, the wickedness which comes to us from our actions, is the punishment itself, and it burns and consumes us. It's not so much cause and effect as much as it is the thing itself. And Aveira is our destruction. And here we see that so clearly in this pasuk, Shamir v'shayit tochal. It consumes the wickedness. And Shamir v'shayit, we speak about the thorns and the thistles. And it gets further along. It doesn't just wipe out the edges of society. But then the next phrase tells us, v'titzat besivche hayar. And it comes and it starts to destroy the forest. And the Jewish people's actions will go up in smoke. And the way the Radak reads this is that everyone will know. When Bnei Yisrael are sinning, it's kind of like smoke signals. It is so obvious. And the whole world knows and looks with a microscope, with scrutiny of the chataim of the Jewish people. But the other image of fire here is also, this is going to be the end of the perek, is to realize that fire is something which not only consumes the thing that it's on, but it catches fire to everything else. And so this corrosion of values and this destructive attitude is something which is going to start catching on and catching a light amongst all of the Jews of the time. Unfortunately, we know that Oyle Russia, Oyle Shcheno, it's a terrible thing for a Russia, but it's even worse for its neighbor. And when Am Yisrael is in a state of sin, then all of Am Yisrael starts to become devoid of good. And that's what the tells us, Vayehiha amkama acholet esh. The people themselves were the kindling of the fire. Ish al achiv lo yachmolu. No one had any mercy on anybody else. Vayigzor al yamin v'ra'ev v'yochal al smol v'lo sava'ehu. And the fire will come and it will eat up from the right, and it'll still be hungry, and then it will consume and eat up the left, and it will not be satisfied. Maybe the right and the left could be understood, political right and the political left, those who lean right and those who lean left. No one is safe. If sin as chinam, if sin is at the underbelly of society, then even people to the right and even people to the left, everybody is going to be consumed with this negative and toxic behavior. Ish basar zar'o ya'achal. Each person is eating the other person's flesh. They're eating each other up with their hatred, with their sinah. Pasuk Chav tells us, Menashe es Ephraim ve'esvraim es Menashe yachdav. Hema al Yehuda. Ephraim hates Menashe, Menashe hates Ephraim, but they hate each other enough to fight together against Yehuda. And b'chol zot lo shava po v'od yadon etuya. And despite all of this, Hashem's hand is still outstretched, ready to continue to wreak havoc and punish the Jewish people. And so, as we end Perek Tes, remembering that Perek Yud is going to open up with a continuation of the destruction of Yisrael, we're overcome by the juxtaposition, the beginning of the Perek, of the Or Gadol, of the light of the hope. We will wipe out our enemies. And on the other side, we have the consuming power of sin, of distance from Hashem and what that does to Yisrael. And we understand what it's like to watch the two sides simultaneously. And we have unfortunately lived in time periods where some of Klal Yisrael is in deep suffering and some of Klal Yisrael is in a state of salvation, and being able to live ben hayam or ben bayabasha, between the rocks and the water, to live in a space in which we can hold space for both. Well, that's going to be the challenge of the Jew in exile. Thank you for learning with me today. Our learning today was sponsored L'Refua Shalema L'Yonina Sima Bas Daphne Hinda Jennifer Hayakara Shelano, Ulepitsu Eit Sahal, Achenu Hayakarim, Betoch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael, Nina Vachaim Shenka.